Would you turn with me this morning, just for a little while, to Revelation chapter 8, verses 1 to 5. We've been working our way through Revelation on a Sunday evening. We're now going to be looking at it for a little while on a Sunday morning. And we're just going to look at a few verses at the beginning of this chapter. Don't want to get into the trumpets just yet. We'll leave that for another week. So Revelation chapter 8, looking at verses 1 to 5. Revelation chapter 8, starting to read at verse 1. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. Another angel, who had a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all God's people on the golden altar in front of the throne. The smoke of the incense, together with the prayers of God's people, went up before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and hurled it on the earth. And there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the opening of the six seals. We read about those in chapter 6. And we saw that most of them refer to the trials and tribulations that Christians can expect to come upon them in the last days. The last days being the time from Christ's first coming all the way through to his second coming. The last of the six seals, of course, speaks of the great day of the Lamb's wrath. That's spoken about in verses 12 to 17 of Revelation chapter 6. Friends, we should not be surprised when trials and difficulties come upon us in this world in which we are living. Not only does the book of Revelation speak about this, the rest of the New Testament speaks about it. Jesus forewarns us, if you like. Last week we saw that before any of these things come upon God's people, especially the day of the Lamb's wrath, they are all sealed by God. That is all 144,000 of them. And I take that to be a symbolic number representing the totality of God's people. That is, God puts his mark of ownership on them. Why does he put his mark of ownership on them? So that they will be kept safe. This, of course, doesn't mean that they won't suffer persecution or even martyrdom, but that no ultimate harm will come to them. In other words, they will be safely seen through to heaven itself. Well, this morning we come to these early verses in Revelation chapter 8. And first we have the opening of the seventh seal. We've already looked at the opening of the first six seals of the scroll in chapter 6. Now we come to the opening of the seventh. We've had to wait a little while for this seal to be opened. And we might have expected this seal to reveal that the things that happen after the day of the Lamb's wrath. But we're going to have to wait until later chapters in the book of Revelation to learn about all of that. What we see, or what's revealed to us, may take us a little bit by surprise. Silence. Silence in heaven for about a half an hour. Well, we ask the question, what is this silence? Well, perhaps it's an opportunity for those in heaven to reflect on all that has been revealed with the opening of the six seals. William Hendrickson, in his commentary on Revelation, refers to it as a time of breathless amazement. Perhaps, too, it is a time of quiet to take stock before the next sea, that is, before the trumpets are blown. A few years ago now, I was listening to a well-known Scottish preacher reflect on an experience he'd had in his early days of ministry somewhere up in Scotland. He preached the Word of God, like he would do on any normal Sunday morning. The final hymn was sung, he announced the benediction, and people sat down. But they didn't get up for a while. And no one said anything. They just remained silent for, you know, a significant period of time. Nobody wanted to speak about the weather. Nobody wanted to speak about, you know, the football results of the day before or anything like that. Just a time of silence. They didn't move. And the reason they didn't move is because God had spoken. And it didn't seem appropriate to do anything else other than to be quiet and to reflect on what God had said. And I wonder whether something similar is happening here in Revelation chapter 8. So firstly, we have the opening of the seventh seal. But secondly, we have the prayers of the saints, the prayers of the saints. In verses 3-5, let me just read those verses to you. Another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all God's people. On the golden altar in front of the throne, the smoke of the incense together with the prayers of God's people went up before God from the angel's hand. And then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar and hurled it on the earth. And there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning and an earthquake. Some years ago, there was a lot of talk in the media about a guy named Terry Waite. Do you remember Terry Waite? I remember walking through Bury St Edmunds Town Centre on one occasion. And there was this huge, great figure coming towards me, and I realised that it was the very man that, you know, I'd been sort of seeing in the media or in the newspapers. A big, imposing fellow. But he, of course, was the man that went out to Beirut to see if he could help release some hostages there, and ended up becoming a hostage himself. In fact, I think he found himself locked away or in prison for several years. And I'm told that there were lots of people during that time who tried to get in contact with him, but none of the letters or messages got through, apart from one postcard by an unknown lady. And quite why that particular postcard got through, I have no idea. But I wonder sometimes whether we feel as Christians that our prayers aren't getting through to God. Perhaps we pray on a Sunday morning like this for an hour or so, and we go home, and we wonder whether there was really any value in it. Why? Because nothing seems to happen. And maybe the weeks and the months go by, and still nothing seems to happen. I wonder whether this is one of the reasons why it's so difficult to persuade people to come to prayer meetings. Christians don't always see the point. Or perhaps they've lost confidence in prayer. Interestingly, I was at a minister's fraternal not that long ago, and one of the pastors was saying that if on a Sunday evening he speaks from the Word of God, they have a reasonable crowd for a Sunday evening, but if they have an evening where, you know, time is given simply to prayer, hardly anybody comes. And I wonder why that is. Is it because Christians have lost confidence in prayer? But these verses tell us that God not only hears the prayers of his people, but answers them. And so I'm going to suggest this morning that if you're struggling with prayer or lacking confidence in prayer, that you underline these verses in your Bible and keep on referring to them as the days go by. Only this week in our house groups, we were thinking about the golden censer. Before the curtain leading to the most holy place in the tabernacle. And we said how that the priests would offer incense there. Of course, what they were doing was interceding on behalf of the people. They were bringing the prayers, the worship, the petitions of God's people to God. And as the incense rose, it was symbolic of their prayers rising to God. Well, this Old Testament language is picked up on in these verses, and it's used to speak of God's suffering people praying to God throughout the last days. And clearly, God hears and answers their prayers. Look at verse 5. This is the answer to their prayers. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and hurled it on the earth. And there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. This is the response of God to his suffering people's prayers. And the response is one of judgment on their persecutors. Now, I don't want us to spend time thinking about what these judgments amount to. We'll do that, God willing, next week and maybe the week after as we look at verse 6 and following. I just simply want to make the point this morning that God hears and answers the prayers of his people. Indeed, as we pray, God's will is done on earth. I suppose God could quite easily perform all his works apart from our prayers, yet the interesting thing is that God is pleased to fulfill his purposes through our prayers. So let's be encouraged by these verses as we turn to the Lord in prayer this morning. There's a website that I often go to, and it's called Sermon Illustrations. You know, if you think I've produced a good sermon illustration, it's because I've stolen something that I found on this website online. Well, this week I went to this particular website and I clicked on Answers to Prayer. And you know, there was no shortage of material, which I found very interesting. Just story after story after story after story of people sharing how God had answered their prayers. So encouraging just to read a few of these stories. And I'm going to finish this morning by telling you one of them. Dr. Helen Rosevere, missionary to Zaire, told the following story. A mother at our mission station died after giving birth to a premature baby. We tried to improvise an incubator to keep the infant alive, but the only hot water bottle we had was beyond repair. So we asked the children to pray for the baby and for her sister. One of the girls responded, "Dear God, please send a hot water bottle today. Tomorrow will be too late because by then the baby will be dead. And dear Lord, send a doll for the sister so she won't feel so lonely." That afternoon, a large package arrived from England. The children watched eagerly as we opened it. Much to their surprise, under some clothing was a hot water bottle. Immediately, the girl who had prayed so earnestly started to dig deeper, exclaiming, "If God sent that, I'm sure he has also sent a doll." And she was right. The Heavenly Father knew in advance of that child's sincere requests, and 5 months earlier, he had led a ladies' group to include both of those specific articles. Are we surprised by that? Should we be surprised by that? We shouldn't, should we? Not really. What a wonderful story, and I hope it is of some encouragement to us this morning to keep on praying. God hears and answers our prayers.